Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our sermon is recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans. We read Paul's introduction to that letter in the first chapter, verses 1 to 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Christ Jesus. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, whose advent we soon, God willing, will celebrate, dearly loved by God. Words are powerful. Words can lift you up. They can build you up, edify you. Words can cut you down. They can pierce right to the heart. For example, words that build up, words that fill us with edification are, your tests all came back negative. We're all coming home for Christmas. As an example of those other words, there might be words like, I'm sorry, I don't love you anymore. Or, we're sorry to have to let you go, but business just isn't very good. Whether good or bad, words go right to the heart. They either comfort the heart or they pierce the heart. An example of two words on the positive side that comfort our hearts and are very familiar with us regularly, but we think about them particularly at Christmas time, are the words peace and grace. Grace and peace are powerful words to prepare our hearts. We pastors, and I just did it a few seconds ago, use those words to prepare your hearts to listen to the sermon in the greeting. On Christmas night, the angels prepared the shepherds and the world for the coming of the Son by preaching peace on earth and God's favor, which is grace, that rests upon one and all. The Apostle Paul use those two words, grace and peace, in his introduction to his letters to the congregations to whom he wrote. Let's take a look at those words as we prepare to celebrate the festival of the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you that sent the world's Savior. Peace to you, which is what comes through the work of the world's Savior. The power of a word to prepare the heart has something to do with the one delivering it. If the one who is speaking a word is reliable and truthful, then we can depend on that word. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote this letter to the Romans, reminded his new Gentile Christians that all through the Old Testament, God spoke His word of grace through the prophets. And the words of those prophets were now recorded for them and for us in the Holy Scriptures, in the inspired words. When God says that in Jesus Christ and His cross, I am giving you my undeserved love, we can rely on that grace. Because those who spoke that word of grace, the prophets, the angels, the evangelists, all of those who speak that word of God do so when they speak the truth. And they knew that of Paul as he describes himself as a servant, literally a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, one who was sent out and set apart for the gospel of God. The apostle Paul experienced that grace of God personally, didn't he? As God did not condemn him for persecuting the church, being an enemy of Christ, but as God forgave him and gave him that grace that first of all called him to believe in Jesus as his Savior, but then also called him to be an apostle, set him apart for the work of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Gentile world. God chose all those reliable messengers to proclaim that word of his undeserved love. It bears repeating, grace is not unconditional love. God's love for us is conditioned on the holiness and sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. But it is undeserved. We don't deserve to have our sins forgiven. We don't deserve to spend eternal life at our Father's right hand with our brother Jesus. But we will, because of the grace of God. The grace that I announce to you regularly, grace to you in that Savior, the world's Savior. With his words of greeting and with mine, when we say grace to you, it's not some pious wish that we really hope that God will show undeserved love to you. We don't really hope that if you get your life in order and you do the right things and if you finally convince yourself to believe that then God will forgive you. Then God will love you if you love him first. This is love, John said, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God loves you and he loves me completely and totally apart from anything that we have done. Even our believing, which is a work of the Holy Spirit, which is the work of God, is not something that we do to have God's love. But it's to have the grace of God by the gift of that faith in that grace that God gives us. Grace be to you, or grace to you. Those are powerful words for preparation. Those are proper, powerful preparation to welcome the birth and to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. To celebrate that grace of God in the world's Savior. Some of us have dear loved ones who are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ with him in heaven this Christmas. They are enjoying that full glory and majesty and righteousness that God had promised them and that they now enjoy in the heavenly Christmas celebration. But we, too, celebrate Christmas because of our Savior, because of the world's Savior, because of those words, grace to you. Words that don't cut us to the heart, but words that mend our hearts. Not words to tear us down, but words to build us up, to edify us. Words to fill our hearts with those Christmas words, joy and peace. The other word that Paul uses, that other powerful word to prepare our hearts, besides the grace of God that we have in the world Savior, is the peace that we have in the work of that world's Savior. The declaration of peace is a powerful word. At the ends of the world wars, newspapers all across this country and all around the world had one word as the banner headline when the wars were over. What was that word? Peace. A word that would fill the hearts that had been fearful and filled with pain and anxiety. A word that now would remove those because it meant the cessation, the stopping of enmity, the ending of fighting. It meant the coming together of agents who were at war with each other, now in peace, to gather and talk about the blessings and the results that would come through that peace. Peace is the cessation of animosity and division. And God used even that kind of peace in the world at the time of Jesus in what was called the Pax Romana. Rome had conquered the world. There were no wars going on at the time that Jesus was born. And because of that, and in the years immediately following his birth, the trade routes were open. People were free to travel without fear. It was a world where a message could be carried from one part of the world to the other. What a wonderful condition God gave the world at that time so that that good news of Jesus could be carried on. Think even of the Magi who came from the east and traveled without hindrance and safety to come worship Jesus and to return home. But Jesus did not come to bring world peace by outward action. But make no mistake that Jesus wants world peace, but not at the end of a sword. Not by men giving and accepting certain conditions on the part of former enemies, but simply by the gospel, by the good news that gives us peace, that God had no conditions in us to be our Savior. We have no conditions in God to be our Savior. God in eternity said, I am going to forgive them and remove their guilt. And I'm going to have my Son bear their punishment for them. And then I'm going to announce that in him there is peace. There is the cessation of animosity and division between us and them. The Old Testament, in the law, God says, your iniquities separate you from God. And the gospel says that separation has been removed. You are no longer separated from God. You are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of sermons, pastors often say in what's called the votum, and the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And again, quoting the Apostle Paul, Pastors remind all of us that that peace is beyond human understanding. It's not something man can work out, but it's something God has worked out and has given us. And we sang about that peace as light in darkness in our sermon hymn. Hearts that were filled with fear, hearts that were filled with pain, hearts that are filled with uncertainty, we have peace. When our guilty consciences condemn us, we have peace with God that assures us that those sins are forgiven. When our lives are troubled because God hasn't chosen to reveal to us the purpose of some difficulties or problems or losses that we're having, and we're troubled by that, we have peace for that through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've often heard people say, you know, I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself. Yes, you can. Because you have peace with God. You don't need to carry around the burdens of your sins and your guilt, or even the consequences that we brought into our lives through our sins. Those are past, and God has forgiven our past. And that puts us at peace. To know that we and God aren't at war anymore, that we're not separated from God anymore, that God loves us, and we love Him, and that gives us peace. And we carry that peace, don't we? And that's how we carry peace out to others. There can be peace in the world when you and I, through God's Word, through the Gospel, change the hearts of sinners so that they'll stop hating each other and killing each other and looking down their noses at other people. When through the forgiveness of their sins and their acceptance by God, we accept them and love them as God has loved us. There will be peace among our family members. Peace among people with whom we work, with whom we must associate. As we tell them about that love that God has had for them, that they don't need to go through life fighting against themselves and against us and against even life because of that baby born in Bethlehem and crucified on a Roman cross and raised from the dead and ruling over all things. Because of that good news, because of that powerful word, grace, we have that other powerful word of peace that prepares us to welcome our Lord and to celebrate Him. And that peace brings great blessing. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And He didn't mean men who sit around a table drawing up articles of ceasefire after war. He's talking about people who take the gospel of salvation out to lost sinners. "But blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." It doesn't make us the sons of God. It identifies us as the children of God. Words have power. Power to prepare our hearts. And those words of grace and peace, they lift our hearts. They don't cut us to the heart. They mend our hearts. And so as you get ready to celebrate with you and yours the festival of the Nativity of our Lord Jesus, as you prepare to leave this building and go once again out into the world, in your regular vocations, in your regular callings, in your dealings with one another, keep those words in mind. Keep those words in your hearts and on your lips. Grace to you, peace to you. Amen.